love, healing, forgiveness, deliverance, feeling disappointed and confused, and you just need a change? Well, look no further. Good morning, and welcome to Focus to Change radio broadcast and podcast with the Elder David G. Garron. We trust that this broadcast will change your life. Our Sunday morning services are as follows. Our Sunday school is at 10:45 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and our WTW night is our Word Talk on Wednesday, each Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. These services are on conference call, and you may call at 1-425-436-6398. 425-436-6398. And the code is 1-866-504. If you have a prayer or a testimony, you may write us at Focus to Change Ministries, P.O. Box 1131, Winona, Mississippi, 38967. That's Focus to Change Ministries, P.O. Box 1131, Winona, Mississippi, 38967. And now, let's hear an inspiring spiritual word from the Lord.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning, thank God for another day, a beautiful day, a blessed day that He has made. Let us all be thankful. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody ought to lift up His name and give Him praise. Somebody ought to give Him glory, give Him thanksgiving on today. The Lord has been good to us. He's been good right now. If you're alive, you're living, you're breathing, and you've been able to wake up and step out of your bed, He's given you the activity of your limbs. You ought to give Him some praise, give Him some glory, give Him some thanksgiving. I'm just gracious to God for all He's done, all He's doing, and all that He is going to do. He's still in the healing and deliverance and saving business. You ready for a change and looking for the difference in your life? Well, here is a word that we're here to share with you on today that you can have that. All you have to do is look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Good morning again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God. Thank God for this wonderful day. Beautiful, blessed day. Beautiful, sunshining day that He has made. And He's given us another chance and opportunity to be in this place. We just thank Him right now. We thank Him for everything. We thank Him for all things that He's done and all that He's going to do. We bless His holy name, we give Him praise, we give Him thanksgiving, and we magnify His name, and we just make Him ready for our prayer, and we want to pray for everyone. But we want you to know that God, He is the living Word, the living Word. And all you got to do, turn your problems over to Him. Turn it over to Him. He'll make everything all right. So we want to go to the throne of grace this morning. We magnify His name. Magnify His name. We give Him glory. We give Him praise. We thank Him today. Come on, let's go to the throne of grace. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for this chance and opportunity that You've given us. We bless Your name, Lord. We bless Your name with praise. We bless Your name with thanksgiving. We give You the glory. We lift You up because You are the living Word. We ask You, Father, that You would touch today. Touch our hearts. Touch our minds. Help us to have an ear to hear. what the Spirit has to say to the church. Father, we lift you up. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. Father, send your healing and deliverance on today. We thank you right now. Bless you, Lord, by the name and the blood of Jesus, that you break yokes, heal, deliver, and make free, Jesus, from bondages and captivity and addictions, hurt and pain and unforgiveness in people's heart today. Give them an ear to hear what the Spirit had to say unto them, Father, that they would adhere to your word and follow your commands. We thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, give you thanksgiving. We magnify his holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yes, he is the living word. He is the living word. We just want to magnify the name of Jesus today. Don't you want to magnify his name? He's a good God. He's a good God, you all. He's a good God. He's been good. He's doing good. He's done well, still doing well. He's going to do well. He's never lost a battle. He can't lose. Wouldn't you love to be on a team that never loses? Well, if you're on Team Jesus, you can't lose. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. His word is alive and well. If you want to be alive in the world, you have to hear and accept, receive his word. And he's here today to share that word, to share his blessings with you. Key in his life to be obedient to his will and to his way. We magnify him. We lift him up today. We thank him. We praise him. Oh, Lord, we thank you for being that living word. Thank you for being that living word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. Woo, yes, that living word. Feel pretty good today. I hope you do too. Somebody say amen in the house. Amen. Amen. We love the Lord. We thank God for him. We thank God for what he's done and what he's doing and all he's going to do. Oh, we just want to lift you up today. We want to break you into the praise of lifting up the name of Jesus, giving him thanksgiving, being thankful to be alive. Aren't you thankful to be alive? Don't worry about your problem. Don't worry about your heavy burden. Just be thankful. Be grateful. Woo! Give him glory right now. Give him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Wake up with a smile on your face. You've been blessed wherever you stand, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're driving, wherever you're working. The living word come to give you life. Woo, come to lift you up. Come to change your life and lift your heavy burdens. Turn it over to Jesus. He will make it all right. That living word. Yes, that living word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, he's worthy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you thanksgiving. Yes, that living word. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for this day. This day. This opportunity. We're making ready for the word. Aren't you ready for the word today? Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him glory. Give him thanksgiving. Give him the praise that he deserves. Thank the Lord for this day that he has made. We give him glory. We give him praise. We magnify his holy name. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We thank you for tuning in and listening to 95.1 here. We're Focused to Change Ministry. We're sharing the word of God with you on today. We hope that, as she said before, that if you want love, you're looking for deliverance, you're looking for healing, you're looking for change, you're looking for growing, you're looking for spiritual renewalness. You can find it in the word of God. That's what we're here to do, to share it with you today. All right. Good morning. And we thank God for this chance and opportunity, as I've said again. And we want to bring your attention into the book of Matthew today. And we want to let you know, we're still dealing with this casting your cares and letting go. But today we want to talk about getting rid of your heavy load. and casting those cares, that is how you get rid of your heavy loads. The heavy burdens, the things that you bear, the things that you're weighed down by, the things that you're fighting, the things that you're dealing with every day, the challenges of life that we face, all of us, every day of our lives. There's always something. But it's up to you how you approach these challenges. And the way that you would approach these challenges is with Jesus. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. Let him give you the instruction. And what we've been saying and what we're saying today, give it to him. Don't you try to fix it. Don't you try to carry it out. You're no match for the problems that you have in your life. Amen, amen. So here we, again, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. And we thank God for this chance and this opportunity. We thank him for everything that he's done and everything that he's doing. We magnify his holy name. We lift him up and we thank him for all that he's done and all that he's going to do. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're doing. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. So today here in the book of Matthew chapter 11, amen. Chapter 11, verse 28 is going to tell us what we can do or what we should do. We hope and pray that you will do what it says. We thank him today again. We magnify and we lift him up. We glorify his holy name. Today in the reading, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to me. Anybody that's worried, anybody that's bothered by anything that they are dealing with in life, no matter what the challenge is, no matter what the problem is, just bring it to me. Come to me. All of you, everyone, anybody who chooses to bring their problems to Jesus and want to get rid of it and want to get it off of their shoulders. You see, Jesus didn't just die because everyone feels as though that as long as he's died, that the sins have been forgiven and there's nothing that we have to do. Well, you're wrong. He died for us to have a free will choice. And that choice that we have today with whatever we face, with our problems and all the things that we go through in this life, he's trying to let us know, you're going to make your decisions. You're going to make your choices. But if you bring your problems, your issues, whatever you're facing to me, then I will get you through it. I will help you through it. And I will help you overcome those problems. That's all he's saying. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all you, all who are weary. All who are weary and heavily burdened. All who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. Notice what it said. All people that are going through situations, even through religious rituals, and still don't have any peace. You see, this is why I've always mentioned about church, and I'm not against church. Church is the pinnacle of everything, how everything it should be. But the thing is with church is the Spirit of God has to be present with the church and everything that goes along with it. And so we can't just have religious routines, in other words, and feel as though that is all right. But when you come to the house of God, you come to give him thanksgiving and to give him praise and to get rid of your heavy load, to give him the things that you're facing. You're not going there to look at Sister Sue, John, and Joe, and all of that. You're going because you need some help in your life with the issues of life, with the challenges of life that you face every day. And the church is the house where you come to get some answers, or to come to get some relief, to come to get some relief as well, to release your problem and get some relief from your problems. But we as human beings have made it into what the Bible says here, the writer says, the religious rituals that provide no peace. He said, but I will give you rest, refreshing for your soul with salvation. Church is about forgiving, repenting, and salvation. So the things that you may face in life is going to be tough. Why? Because Adam made that choice a long time ago when the Lord told him not to eat of the forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that he does that, he will surely die. And he did that, and he caused the separation and division, and he caused all these other things to come into play. So if we fast forward here in today's time, that we're dealing with the same issue that they dealt with then. We're just in a more modern life or modern time. But to the word at hand here, what I'm speaking within, come, he says. I want to extend that to you. Come to me. Come. Come and I will give you rest. Whoever that's weighed down, burdened down, come to him. If you've tried everything else, it's not working. It's not happening. It's not fixing it. You should know that those things, wherever, whoever, and whatever you're using or trying, does not have the answer. It'll never have the answer. Lord, we thank you. It'll never have the answer. So the first thing that we've read here, we wanted to read that for you first. Today, we want to bring your attention as well to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 58 and verse 6. And so I'm still here trying to inspire, encourage, to motivate, to challenge you to choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Drugs, alcohol, sex, money, wealth, fame will not solve your problem. Winning the lottery will not solve your problems. In fact, when you become rich and all of that stuff with wealth and all that, you have more problems, more challenges that you have to face. So without Jesus, you have no peace. Without Jesus, you'll never have any calmness. Without Jesus, you won't have any relief. So Jesus is the answer to everything, all our issues in life, if we choose him. Because this is what Matthew said in chapter 6, I believe in verse 33, he said, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. First, the kingdom. Seek Jesus. He didn't just come and give his life just so we could run around and do whatever. No, ma'am. No, sir. Gave his life that we might be drawn back to him, that we would come back to him. But he's allowing us with the free will choice to come to him. But in order to come to him, you can't come to him bringing the world with you. You got to come to him to get rid of the world, to get rid of the heavy load, get rid of all of the issues. Even though you live in the world, but you won't be of the world when you allow him to work in your life. So in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6, he says something like this. He says, is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? And this is when they was beginning to talk about fasting. And so this fast was to go on and to be able to cry out unto the Lord for the issues in life. If you read in the chapter 58 and first verses, it'll tell you, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. I'm here to cry out against the sins in your life. Not you personally, the sins in your life. When the message is being spoken, the message being preached, it's not a personal endeavor against you. It's a personal, it's a directed work against the sin that would overwhelm you in your life. And the sin that overwhelms you in your life causes the challenges of life become a heavy burden, a heavy weight. Things that you can't handle, things that you can't deal with, things that you can't fix. And Jesus has it set that when we need something to fix is to come to him. And so this is why he said in Matthew, come to me, all of you, everyone, anybody. Anybody that's weighed down by the problems of life. I know there's many of you out there that are dealing with some issues in life and you don't know which way to turn. You don't know the answer. You don't know who to talk to, but talk to Jesus. And yeah, God have people that that have been touched and been changed and been born again and been used that God will use to encourage you. But he has the last answer and all the answer and the last say so. They can only instruct you and guide you, not direct you in which way and what manner and how to go to reach him. But you have to make up in your mind to choose him, to choose to give it to him. To choose to allow him to work the miracles in your life. Yes, he's still performing miracles if you will allow him. And that allowance is going to have to come through with a belief and trust in committing your ways and acknowledging him. Commit all thy ways unto him. Commit all thy ways unto him. Here in Isaiah 41 and 13, I believe here, where I want to share something with you also. So he says in Isaiah 41 and 13, he says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, I will help you. If you come to me. If you come to me. If you bring it to me. Don't turn to alcohol. Don't turn to drugs. Don't turn to sex. Don't turn to wealth. Don't turn to riches. Don't turn to the lottery. Come to me. Come to me. Why? He's asking us to come to him because he created us, he made us, and he knows everything about us. And he created the whole world and everything that is in it. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. He knows what you will do before you do it. He knows what you're going to face before you face it. But he has left us a free will to choose. Excuse me, to choose who we want to serve, who we want to believe, who we want to live for. Yes, we have that choice. But today we're talking about that heavy load, that heavy burden. Fear not. In Isaiah 41 and 10, he says this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's Isaiah 41 and 10. Hallelujah. He will uphold you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. If you say that he is your God, if you say that you're a Christian, you're a believer, you trust him, then why are you worried? Why are you weighed down? Why are you burdened down? Why are you allowing the challenges of life to take you down and weigh you down and wear you out and cause you to turn to other things? Turn to him. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. He has the answers. Yes, he has the answers. He has all the answers. And when we turn to him, he will relieve us. How does he relieve us? He gets us through our problem by being with us. If you know the story of the Hebrew boy, if you know the story of Daniel, if you know the story of Moses, if you know the story of Abraham and all, He never took the things away, but he was always with them going through their issues and their situation. You know the story of Job. He was with him through whatever was happening. If we're looking for the problem to disappear, it won't disappear, but he will give you relief as you pass through the test. And see, when you pass through the test, you go through the fire. It's like gold being purified to be able to be used over and over again. Good God Almighty. Don't you want to turn to him today? And he says to them also, Isaiah, here in chapter 46, and verse 4, he says this, even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will and will deliver you. He's letting us know, no matter how young old we are or how old we get, he will always be there. He'll always be there. And so in your ears today, you probably sound, it probably sound like some fantasy story, but this is real. God's word is alive. It's real and it penetrates down to the marrow of the bone, to the discerning of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. It gets then deep into this old fleshly body and the mind and the soul and everything. And whatever that's in there that's not right, if you get into the word and hear the word, then things will have to leave from you because of the word of God being replaced, being coming into the place, into your heart, into your life. Saturate your mind with the word of God. With the word of God. The Bible lets us know that faith cometh by hearing. Faith is built. Faith is strengthened. Faith is lifted up by hearing and reading and meditating and studying the word of God and hearing the word of God. Somewhere in Romans, he said, how can they hear except there be a speaker or a preacher or a man that been sent by God? He said, now, if those that are lost, how will they be lost? It's to those that are not hid, or this gospel be hid from them where they can't hear it. So before the end of time, every person, every child, every human being is going to hear the true spoken, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible word of God before he leaves this earth. No one leaves the earth not knowing, not having a chance, not having an opportunity to come to Jesus, to face him with their problem or their issues. Yeah, well, no, it's not an easy task to make up your mind, but you got to fight. You got to press. You got to push to get there. Push to get there. The psalmist said it in the first book of Psalm, that's Psalm 1. He says this, he said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't live like the world. Don't practice their lifestyle. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. See, this is a sermon about the righteous and the ungodly. And so the first 3 verses here give the righteous encouragement what he can do or what he must do if he obeys the word of God. You see, church got to be more than just church attendance. There got to be some participation in meeting Jesus there so that there will be a change and a challenge and a transformation in your life. Ask yourself a question sometimes when you go. Am I going to say I am a church attendant? Or am I going to say that I go to church to get delivered, to hear the word of God, to be brought out, to be made free, to be set free, to be healed? Lord, have mercy. And this is what the world is missing. And not only to be able to be all those things that happen for you, but also to give you a mind and a heart to be able to forgive others. To learn how to love and forgive one another, even when they hurt you and do harm and evil things against you. We're living in a world now, there's no forgiveness. There's no love. There's no kindness. It's just selfishness. It's just self-centeredness. It's just get what I want, however I want, and that's it. I don't care about how you get it or nothing. It's gotten so bad that parents, young parents, and even some older parents, they don't even care how the children fare, just as long as they get enough of them to be just a little bit okay, but as long as their agenda is at the top of everything. That's selfish. And that's wrong. Hallelujah. It's wrong. And so, when he's blessed, he's happy, he's fortunate, who walks in not in the counsel of the world. I live like that. No, gets in the way of those, or the sinners, those that live that path of life, or that way of life. But he says, when he does these things, in verse 3, he said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. He won't fold up, won't dry up. And whatever he does shall prosper. You see, notice when prosper comes in, it's after everything else that has been done and taken place, not before. Not before. Not before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Let me shift your mind to the psalmist in 55 and 22 here. Hallelujah. 55 and 22 in the psalmist. And the psalmist says here in 55 and 22, he says, hallelujah. He says, cast your burdens on the Lord. Throw them away. Tell him, Lord, I don't need this. Lord, you said to give my burdens, my problems, my issues to you. Lord, this ain't my problem. It's your problem, because you said everything that I have belongs to you. I'm giving it to you. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I can't turn it around. I don't know what to do with it. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Cast. You know what the word cast means. Throw. So if you throw something, that means you're trying to hurry up and get rid of it. Hurry up and get it out of your hands. Hurry up and get it away from you. Hallelujah. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shall lift you up. He shall glorify you. Cast all your cares. Cast your burden. Cast your burden on the Lord. Cast them to him. And he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. You see there? He gives you the power to be able to stand, withstand anything that you come against when you give him the problem. When you let him handle the problem. When you let him have the problem. When you let him work with the problem, when you let him fix the problem. How can we fix a problem that we don't have an answer to? We've tried, but it doesn't work. And he says in 56, the psalmist 56 and 3, he says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. That's what you need to do. Whenever things going bad, afraid, you don't know what to do, don't know where to turn, and you're afraid of what the outcome might be, you got to trust in Jesus. You got to trust in Jesus. And you got to commit your ways in trusting him with everything you got. You got to commit your ways in him. And we can take you to Proverbs in chapter 16 and verse 3. And it'll tell you, watch this here. And it'll tell you that. Proverbs in chapter 16, watch this, and verse 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like reading it, making sure that you get it. Hallelujah. I can quote it, but we want to read it to you. Proverbs 16, verse 3. He says, commit your ways to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. See, commit your ways to, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts will be established. But let me read the first two verses down to that in chapter 16 of Proverbs. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts will be established. They will be established if you look to Jesus. If you look to Jesus. People looking for miracles to happen in their lives. And I believe the reason a lot of the miracles that God can perform and still will perform is because of lack of belief. You believe to a certain extent, but I'm talking about belief as in committing your ways to him, committing everything to him, committing your life, changing your way of living and thinking to the process of understanding that you've got to give your whole being unto him, your whole being. You can't give part of you to him and expect the miracle to come through. That doesn't say that he's powerless to do it. No, he can do it, but there's a process as to how he does it and the way he does it. And the way he does it is when he knows that you have and you're willing to give yourself to him. Aren't you willing to give yourself? Or do you want to give yourself to him today? Do you really want to get rid of your problem? Do you really want the answer or the solution to your problem, to your sickness, to your illness, to your hurt, to your pain? The only way that you're going to know that or find out about that is when you make up in your mind that you're ready to give it to Jesus, to totally give your whole being to Jesus, totally your whole lifestyle, your way of being, your way of walking, your way of talking to him. See, you see, I just read to you in the Psalms first. You can't live with the world and live for Jesus. You can't be both. You got to give up one or the other. You got to let go one or the other. You can't hold on to both. You got to choose one or the other. Which one will you choose? Which one are you ready to choose? Are you ready to choose Jesus? I'm talking about choosing to the fullness of your life. The day that you make that commitment, that you fullness of your life, that you walk, your talk, your attitude, the place you used to do, the things you used to do, the place you used to go, the people and everything, all the stuff that you used to carry on, the way you carry, that has to change. And it has to be a new direction. Hallelujah. But in John, St. John chapter 14, verse 27 says this. This is what he wants to give us. This is how he wants to relieve us of our problem. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Give it to him. And see, when he give it to him, look at what he said. Peace. Lord have mercy. Peace. Peace I leave with you. He said, my peace I give to you, not the world peace. See, the kind of peace the world gives is writing a treaty or writing something down on paper with an agreement that they promised to do, but 99% of the time will never hold up. Their end of the bargain. But Jesus said, the peace I give you, the peace I give you, it holds up through storms. It holds up through triumphs. It holds up through loss. It holds up through despair. It holds up through loneliness. It holds up through hatred. It holds up through bitterness. It holds up through abuse. It holds up through addictions. It holds up through attitudes. It holds up through being lost. It holds up through anything that comes against you. That's what peace does. Peace I give you. Peace I leave with you. Don't you remember? And it holds up with the peace of mind with calmness. Calmness. Not panic. None of that. Not erraticness. Not rage. Not hate. Not revenge. Not unforgiveness. But it holds up in the midst of all those things. It holds up in the midst of the storm that comes not only in our life, but the physical storm that comes on the land, in the world, when you got peace. Peace gives you an ease of mind. Believing and trusting that God is always there. Jesus is always there to answer the solution to the problem or to whatever that you are dealing with, whatever you are facing. You don't frown up. You don't lose your cool. You don't panic in the midst of the triumph or the trial or the tribulation or whatever it is that you got to face, or the sickness or the news you may get from the doctor. You don't panic. You don't panic. You don't panic when you lose the loved one, you lose a child, you lose a daughter, you lose a son, you lose a husband, you lose a wife, you lose a mother, you lose a dad. You won't panic. We call peace. Peace, he says. Peace. I leave with you. Peace. The gift of his peace. I'm going to back up to 25 and bring it back to that so you get some more out of this. He said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. He's just speaking to the disciples and all. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. In whose name? Jesus. Jesus' name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. See, that's what you got to have. First of all, here to have this peace, this is what you have to have in order to have this peace, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You see, you just can't get the Holy Spirit just out of the air just because you say it. No, you got to go through this process. You got to go through the process of repentance. And the baptism in Jesus' name to receive this Holy Spirit, this comforter, this guider, this leader, this teacher. Hallelujah. He said, I told you about all these things. He said, but I'm going to leave you something no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter what comes against you, I'm leaving you something that cannot understand. There's a verse that lets us know that peace passes all understanding. Peace is above anything that you can ever imagine in this world or in your life. That's what peace is. Peace is something when you, like I just said, you get the bad news, the worst news of your life. And when you got the peace of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, of Jesus in your life, you accept it with calmness. You don't accept because you or you want to keep it. You accept it to receive what you're hearing, but you know in what you're in by trusting God that you don't have to live with that because you can still live with it at the same time, but have peace in the midst of it. If you get what I'm saying. He said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, you remember when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples? And you remember when the storm was raging in the sea like a hurricane, throwing and tossing the boat all over the place. What was Jesus doing? Sleeping. He was sleeping. Why was Jesus sleeping? Because he knew he had peace. How did he have peace? Because he had the power to calm the raging storm. He wasn't worried about the storms. But the men on board, they ranting and raving. Jesus, what you doing sleeping? Look at the storm we're in. And he awakes calmly. He doesn't wake erratically. He doesn't wake with panic. He wakes calmly. He said, what is it? What's wrong? Can't you see there's a storm going on? He said, yeah, it's just wind. It's just the wind. And then when he says, peace. He even spoke the word, peace, be still. And when he spoke those words, and everything just settled down. I can imagine the waves of the water, that the wind that was in it like a typhoon and hurricane was lifted up in the air and tossing the boat up and down and all around. And when he spoke, all of the whole thing just leveled out and just calmed down. Calmed down. And to prove that he had the power to peace, tell it to be still, he showed them how still the waters were. What did he do? He stepped out the boat. He stepped out the boat in the middle of the water, out in the middle of the ocean, if you might say. No dry land, nowhere. And began walking as if he was already on dry land. And he began walking across the water, and they're looking at him, and they're screaming out, hollering, Jesus, come back, come back, come back. And Peter was the first one. He jumped out to go to catch him, to get him. And when he goes to reach for him, before he gets there, he was moving fine on the water. But then the thought came to his mind. He realized, wait a minute. Then he looked down and he realized he was standing on water. In other words, he realized his position and his situation that he was in. And so when he recognized the situation, the position he was in, he began to fall. He began to sink into the water. You said, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, if you don't worry, excuse me, if you don't focus on the problem, but focused on the peace that Jesus can give you in the midst of the problem, and whenever you hear the news or whatever you're going through, then things going to have to level out. Things going to have to calm down because Jesus is in the house. Jesus is present when you call on his name. When you speak his name, he's present. He's present before you. He's there for you. He's there to hear from you. If you would just hear from him. If you would just hear from him. You need to hear from him. You need to hear from Jesus. That's what he said. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. He said, my peace. Notice what he said. He lets us know that his peace is different from what the world talks about or decides to give you. He said, when you accept my peace, I give you. He said, well, then now don't let your heart be troubled. He said, don't even be afraid. So if you have the peace of God in your life, there's nothing in life that you should be worried about. There's nothing in life you should be panicking about. There's nothing in life you should fret about. There's nothing in life that you should be overly concerned about because you got peace. I'm a living witness. I believe and I know that I've experienced this peace when things are happening. I don't fold up. I don't frantic. I don't panic. I don't lose my cool. I don't freak. I don't get wretched, get wild, get out of control. Because when you got peace, and when you got calmness in your life, you're able to make the appropriate decisions. You're able to make the right choices. You're able to do the right things. But when you're in a panic, when you're in hysteria, panic hysteria, when you're lost, when you're frantic, when you're worried and burdened down, that's what I'm talking about today. When you're worried and burdened down, when you're the one trying to carry the load, my whole message today is stop trying to carry your heavy load and get rid of it. Cast your cares and let it go. And I want to tell you today, when I say get rid of the heavy load, I mean all the way back to when you was a child, to whatever has happened to you along the way until you are the age right now. Until you're the age now. Until you are the age now. And you give it to him. Give it to Jesus. I'm telling you as a witness, you can have peace. The way that you know you don't have the fullness of the peace in your life is when everything come in your life, you begin to panic. You begin to lose it. You begin to be on edge. You begin to snap at people. You begin to use foul languages. You begin to say stuff you wouldn't normally say if you were in a calmness. You begin to have hate. You begin to have bitterness. You begin to have unforgiveness. There are people that go into the house of God this morning and have gone, still carrying hate around, still carrying unforgiveness around, still carrying bitterness around, still carrying franticness around, still carrying losing control. You're not in control. Still haven't let go of whatever that's been bothering them all their lives. Today, I challenge you, whoever is listening to my voice right now, I challenge you. I challenge you to try Jesus. I'm talking about truly try Jesus. I'm talking about to commit, give yourself to him fully. Fully, and to expect a miracle to happen in your life. I'm talking about a miracle of peace and joy. I'm talking about a miracle of peace that happens when you're in the midst of the storm and you're not losing your cool. You're not losing your mind. You're not worried. You're not weighed down. You're not worried about your children, because you know if you pray for them and the blood of Jesus is covering them, God is going to keep them. They still got to make their choices. They still got to make their decision. But all you have to do or need to do is keep peace covering them. Keep the love of Jesus, the grace and mercy covering them while they're out there doing whatever or whatever decisions and choices they make. As well as yourself. Now yourself, think about. I want every person, every individual listening to me and the sound of my voice right now, think back to whatever the hurt that's been embedded in you for a long time. The deepest hurt. I mean the deepest hurt, the deepest abuse. The deepest thing that someone took from you, you felt like, and made you feel like you've lost everything. Made you feel like you're not who you need to be. You can't be who you need to be because it's something you're still holding on and you're chasing the things in the world to get some peace or to get some relief, and it's not happening. You've drank, you smoked, you stayed up, you gambled, you spent money, you've gone to the doctor, and still there is no peace. Still there is no deliverance. Because you got to come to the conclusion. You got to come to the final thoughts. You got to come to the final state of mind. That I don't want this anymore. That I'm tired. That it's time for me to get rid of it. It's time to admit I've been holding this thing too long. I'm never going to be who I need to be until I let it go. That's the conclusion you got to come to. I'm never going to be where Jesus will have me and do what he needs me to do if I don't ever let go of what I'm holding on to. And believe it or not, you might come to the conclusion to find out, you know what? There is something I've been holding on to. And sometimes, you know what? You can be holding on to it for so long. And you forgot that it is even there. You forgot it's there. And you've been going through your life regularly, and not let it go. Not let it go. Galatians 6:2 says, I'm going to start with verse, brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit, ought to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Carried, number two, here it is, carry one another's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. That is the law of Christian love. That's what you want to have. So today, cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. Don't you want to turn it over to him so that you don't have to panic anymore? Let me leave you with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. We thank you for what you can do and what you will do if we choose you. We're praying, Father, those that hear and have heard and will hear this message, that something is said by your Holy Spirit, by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that I pray all the time, Father, that you lead me in speaking, that they hear your voice and not my voice, but they hear your voice through my voice, and that it touches their heart and their mind, and that it convinces and convict them to turn to you. Turn to you that they may get rid of their heavy loads, their heavy burden, that they cast their cares onto you because you care for them. We thank you right now, Jesus, for this opportunity that we've shared your peace, the chance for peace in every individual life that is listening right now, if they choose to give you the glory and give you the honor. In Jesus' name, we praise you forevermore. We thank you. We say amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. Again, may the peace of God be with you and keep you through all things. Selah. God bless you. Say something. I've got the mic.
You've been listening to the broadcast of Focuses Change Ministries. Elder Garen is on Spotify Podcast. You may tune in at Spotify Podcast. And remember, if you make the choice, Jesus will make the change. God bless you.